I was invited back to Gallatin, where I had done local work, to preach two lessons on a Sunday. And the elders said, "We want you to preach the first lesson on what is right with the church. And we want you to preach the second lesson on what problems the church is facing as you see it." I did a lot of study and preparation for that day. And as I was looking back through some outlines a few days ago, I've told you that I'm going back about 25 years and looking at some of the things that I preached. I found these two and I decided to use them as a part of our lessons here. What's right with the church? And what are the problems that are facing the church? I redid the lesson this morning. In fact, one or two of the points that I put in for this lesson were not necessarily in that one. In fact, I redid this outline this morning between 1 and 2 o'clock. I told some of you in Bible study that Nathan Sexton texted me at 11:35, and when my phone beeps, it wakes me, and I'm not for sure I ever really went back to sleep. He and I are going to have a rather intimate discussion when I see him. But I had been thinking about the lesson, and there was a point or two that I wasn't exactly happy with the way I was going to present it, and so I did some preparation this morning in the wee hours of the morning. I began the lesson this morning by reading the 22nd verse of Romans 11. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them that fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." At the end of the judgment scene in Matthew 25, it says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." When Jesus was describing the way to live, he said there's a straight and narrow way and there's a wide and broad way. Matthew 7:13-14. As you study through the Bible, particularly in the New Testament after the establishment of the church, it seems that there were always some good things that were happening. And there were some problems that existed. If you read the book of Revelation, and especially read chapters 2 and 3, where the address is made to the seven churches of Asia, the format of each of those specific letters within the letter was to point out the things that were good, and then to point out the areas where they needed to improve. And so I believe we are certainly within the boundaries of Scripture to think about what's right with the church and what are the problems that we are facing in the work of the church today. The Scripture has not changed. What we need to teach as far as the guidelines has not changed at all. But sometimes the mechanics of how we go about doing things do change from time to time. Customs bring about changes. Culture will bring about changes. And I have no problem with any of those changes as long as we don't change the law. And certainly we cannot change the principle of the matter, because every basic principle is set in the nature of God and cannot be changed even by law. God has never changed his principles. He has changed his laws. We live by the same principles in government that our forefathers lived by, but the laws are different to help us to carry out that which is right and decent according to the laws of the land. And so this morning, I want to tell you four things that I see that I think are points that are right with the church. I believe that we have made tremendous progress during my lifetime in the benevolent attitude that we see in the church. When I was a boy, we took care of the needs right there within the community, but we didn't think much about what was going on outside of that community. I guess one of the reasons for that is we didn't know a lot of what was going on outside of that community at that time. The Bible teaches us in the church to have a benevolent attitude. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. The totality of chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians describe the planning that they did and the carrying out of that planning, especially to do benevolent work. Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and he says that it's also pleased others, and he's written the same thing to Macedonia in particular, about how they were to plan ahead and have their support ready so that when there was a need, they would be ready. And even as he gave the verses that we quote so many times about our giving in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, he said, everyone's to lay by in store on the first day of the week as he's been prospered, so that there be no gatherings when I come. He said, you need to look ahead. And he told them here in the 8th and 9th chapters of the second book to the Corinthians that you did this planning a year ago, and now it's time for you to perform what you planned and what you said you were going to do. And in that passage, he points out the needs, and they're having a bounty and bringing it together and being able to reach out to help others. In fact, as much as I believe the Bible teaches that it is right to support preaching out of the treasury, most of the time when the treasury is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned in connection with benevolent work. He says, lay by in store there in 1 Corinthians 16, and that there be no gatherings when I come. And he said, whomsoever ye shall approve, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And this seems to have been to help the benevolent needs, the physical needs among the church, members of the church at that time. And certainly here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he goes ahead and says, you do this to help the church and unto others too, but he's talking about benevolent means. I think there, don't want to be misunderstood, I think there is ample example and principle for us to support the preaching of the gospel out of the treasury, but generally when it's talking about it, it's talking about benevolent needs. I think I see a great deal of growth in churches that I visit and churches with which I'm familiar in the area of benevolence. You look at almost any budget that's planned now, and most of them will have something that's being sent to, like the West Tennessee Children's Home or the Tennessee Children's Home or Potter's Children's Home up in the edge of Kentucky that we used to support a lot when in places where I was. And then you will also see in most budgets today something that's listed for local needs. And I know several times in the business meetings, discussions that we've had since I've been with you, there have been times that it's been brought up, here are some needs, what do we need to do, how do we need to go about doing this? And generally speaking, the comments of the brethren, not only here but where I've been in other places, has been, let's be sure that we do what's needed. And I even made the statement this week, I'd rather help someone that doesn't deserve it than fail to help someone who does deserve it. There are times that we'll help people who do not deserve it, I'm sure. But I believe we've made a great deal of progress in the church, and I believe this is one of the strong points about the church, is our interest in helping people who are less fortunate, our interest in meeting those benevolent needs. And I hear people commenting on things that happen even in their individual lives. And I know with some of you, and I have an opportunity to do this also, there are times that we'll have an opportunity to help someone on an individual basis that doesn't necessarily go through the church, but we're representing the church because we're Christians. And I think I see more of that taking place today. I believe that there are more Christians who are watching for opportunities to help those who are less fortunate than any time in my lifetime. I think that's one of the things that's right with the church. The second point that I would make has to do with evangelism. I don't remember when I was a boy in a congregation about the size of this, maybe just a little bigger, that we ever said very much about what was going on in other countries and our need to help there. Maybe there was an occasion where someone would come through asking for some help. But almost without exception now, in our congregations of the church, those with whom I'm familiar at least, there is a section that we even designate for mission work. We may have some for foreign countries, and we may have some domestic within the United States, and we may even have some to help us in the local setting. And if you stop and think about it, we're involved in all of those here. We are sending funds to help the Joneses, for example, and some others, Hal Ferguson. And yet we are using funds to train preachers and help support preachers in schools of preaching and local levels and throughout the United States. And there are times that we will be asked to help someone that's a part of our families here to go on a mission trip and help teach the gospel or help serve in a capacity such as that. Especially in Henderson, with the Henderson Church and with the students who are involved at Fried Hardeman, I have no idea how many trips are taken throughout the year, some of them medical trips, to help people with medical problems and also teach them the gospel. Not only preachers, but sometimes maybe there will be 40 or 50 different people, doctors and nurses will go. And this is done to strengthen the church and help the welfare of the people there. I believe I see more of an evangelistic spirit among churches today than I've ever seen. There are some that do not have that. And one of the things that I've been trying to emphasize in my gospel meetings, and I've mentioned to you many times that I feel like this is an outreach to help to support the work of the church, I'm finding a lot of smaller congregations that are not doing much in mission work or benevolent work, and I'm trying to teach them and stir them up to get them more involved. And there are some positive reactions to that. So I think when we think about spreading the gospel, as Acts 1:5 says, start there in Jerusalem, then into Judea, and then into Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world, I believe we're doing a better job of that now. We're not doing what we need to. A lot of people are dying without ever knowing about Christ. But I believe a lot of progress has been made, and I think that's one of the good things that I see about the church in general. The third thing that I would emphasize that I see that something's right with the church, I think we have become more interested in the community where we exist than we did at one time. Back 100 years ago, even 50, 60 years ago, a lot of the buildings of the Churches of Christ were on some back street. Most people didn't even know where it was and didn't know what it was. And the community had little knowledge of what was going on as far as the work of the church is concerned. Now, let me hasten to say that we should not let the community determine what we do in the church. That's to be done from the Bible. But I believe we've made a tremendous progress in the last 50 to 100 years in bringing our buildings out to where people can see where we meet and they know where we meet. And we're making an impression on the community that we have something to offer. I think that's good. I also believe that the church in general is doing a better job of rendering service to the community. When I was in Clarksville particularly, and it's been this way to some extent everywhere I have worked, The Office of the Human Services in Clarksville would send us people to help in a benevolent way, send us at church. They knew the attitude that we had. They knew the way we had prepared to be able to help people. And when they would find a case that they could not help within the boundaries of their laws and guidelines, they would send them to the Church of Christ. And I remember one day I was told by a person at a filling station, he said, we had a person drive up here the other day and ask this question, where is that church that helps people? And he knew which one they was talking about. I think that's one of the biggest improvements that we've made in the work of the church. We're saying to the community, we're here to serve people. Teach the gospel, yes. We won't compromise the gospel for anybody. But if there's something we can do to serve people, let us know. We're learning to use our buildings. We're doing it somewhat here, and the Henderson Church does this in a tremendous way. There are community activities that go on at the church building. Tomorrow night, the Lions Club will meet at the church building because where we normally meet is tied up and we can't meet there. And the church just simply lets us use the building as a meeting place. Look at what that's doing. We've brought numbers of people who are not members of the church into that building for meetings in other ways. They become familiar. A lot of times they'll stop and look at the pictures of the elders and the deacons and the preacher. They may even stop and look at the bulletin boards. I think our outreach to the community has been a great thing and continues to be a great thing. And when there is a moral issue or an issue in the community that has to do with moral principles, the church many times has stood with the community, not in a religious sense. We can't stand with those in a religious sense and cooperate if they're teaching false doctrine. I remember working very hard to try to keep liquor by the drink out of one of the towns where I was living. And if there were an issue on the ballot today or at this time in Henderson that has to do with moral issues, and I'm convinced that going one way would help improve the setting and the environment in which we teach the gospel, I would do everything I could to promote that. When I moved to Henderson in 1987, the community looked at the church somewhat as having a standoffish attitude. And I was determined that I was going to help remove that. And I became involved as a citizen. I cannot become involved in the ministerial association, but I became involved as a citizen and encouraged others to do that, to where we began to stand side by side with people to further the importance and the value of the community. And the attitude toward the church has changed tremendously. I don't mean to tell you that to take credit for it. I'm just a part of it. But it's changed tremendously in the last 25 years. And when we had the open house there for the new auditorium back a few months ago, we had numbers of people from the community who are not members of the church come for that open house because they appreciated what the church is doing in the community. I think that's important, and I think we have made progress. We don't want to become a church that's known for what we are against. Now, we are against things, and we teach against sin. But I don't want people in this community saying, oh yes, those folks over there at the Madison County Church of Christ, they're the ones that are against everything. No, we're for a lot of things too. And I believe we made great strides in leaving that impression in the community. The fourth thing that I mentioned this morning, and I could mention others, but I chose these four. I believe one of the best things about the church that I see today is the family concept that is understood within the church. Now, I've just discussed our reaching out. But folks, there's something different about being in. And one of those verses I quoted earlier teaches that. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. There's something special about being in God's family. I believe the church here sees that and practices that in a wonderful way. I believe one of the reasons that some of the people who've come our way recently is the way that the people here have reached out with friendliness and concern and acceptance of people. I believe this is extremely important. And I have seen tremendous growth in the attitude of people on the black-white problem, the young-old problem, the poor-rich problem, the country-city problem, the man-woman problem. I think on this some churches have gone too far, but I'm thankful that we have made progress in realizing that you ladies are extremely important as a part of the Lord's work, and within the boundaries that God has given, that there are so many functions that you not only can do but need to do for us to be successful. I'm thankful that we've made progress in that family idea relative to the church. Ephesians 4 says we're all knitted together and every joint is supplying. If you stop and think about it for a moment, the folks that are here this morning are the core part of this church. Most of us that are regular are here this morning. We know situation of a few that are out of town or situation. Some of you have not been here long. Some of you have been here from the very beginning of this congregation. We've made progress in trying to help everybody to feel important and to have something to do. We may need to do more in that area. But you folks that are here this morning are important. Isaac and Brittany are gone today. Isaac's preaching up in southern part of Middle Kentucky today. You take Isaac and Brittany and Tyler and Katie and Ryan and Philly and Jeff, his family, and the Scott boys. We've got a core now of younger adults. And I don't think you all realize how important you are. You're playing a very important part. But we have some of you that were here when the congregation began. We have some of you that have been Christians for 50, 60 years. You've got that settled foundation, and maybe you don't realize how important you are. But really what we're talking about is that family idea of all of us being important. Nobody gets his way, but everybody gets his say. What's best for the most? You've heard that and you'll hear it again. I believe this family concept that we have, and I'm seeing it more and more everywhere I go, where people enjoy getting together and eating together and working together. I think that's one of the great things that's happening in the work of the church, where anybody can feel welcome and everybody can feel important. Not stuck up, but important in the work of the church. I believe these four things are four of the ideas that I see, at least from my vantage point, and I probably have an opportunity to see what's going on in the church, especially throughout Tennessee and areas close to it, as anybody that you know. Since I began working with you, I've been involved in almost 100 gospel meetings. And I see some larger congregations, but mostly I see the medium and smaller churches. And I think the things that I've talked to you about this morning are things that I see that are happening, that are good. Benevolent attitude, evangelistic attitude, community outreach, and promoting the family concept within the church. And those points are important, and they'll have a part to play in our growth. And that emphasizes that we want everybody to be an active part of the Lord's work here. If you've not been baptized into Christ to start that, or if you need to ask for prayers to continue that in the right way, come as together we stand and sing.